how are you doing? And later on, switch on TV. They give me the news, they give half truths to me. They give us wise, they feed us lies. How are we doing? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Educate, they fabricate. And we sit back till it's
too late. The Radio Avenger.
Rick Adams is on.
All right, folks, welcome, welcome aboard. We're back today, this Saturday, and we have, believe it or not, it's already the 10th of December. It's hard to believe, indeed, time does just fly by, and not enough of it sometimes to talk about what we would like to talk about, but sometimes it happens to be the opposite. This is one of those days when, you know, it's the former and not the latter, I'll tell you. We're going to have a very animated discussion, I'm sure, today, folks. And, you know, I want to set the tone. I want to just set the tone right at the top of this hour with a specific verse that you are all familiar with that I've quoted many times from Scripture. And it is the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 12. In the King James language, it reads, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness," where? In high places. That's the Apostle Paul. And folks, we are going to see many examples of how that works today, as we are going to bring back Mr. Jim Fetzer, Professor Fetzer Emeritus from University of Minnesota, who is going to share with us, originally, we'll talk about the anniversary of Sandy Hoax, the Sandy Hook Massacre hoax in Connecticut. And we decided that while we opened up the morning digital version of the local paper, that we decided to expand upon that theme to other hoaxes and media false flags, media disinformation, and false news. And that whole discussion now is center stage, as you know. So lo and behold, I'm reading an article, yes, from the AP, the notorious Associated Press, and I just happened to see the name of Alex Jones in there with regard to Pizzagate and this whole business of satanic sex and pedophilia in high places all across the media landscape. And I read that the AP interviewed a few people, and one of them just happened to be Professor James Fetzer. Here's a part of the description I read. James Fetzer, a longtime conspiracy theorist who also believes the Sandy Hook school shooting was a hoax, told the Associated Press that this man, Mr. Welch, his visit to this pizza place was a staged event to distract from the public from the truth about Pizzagate allegations. And there is no doubt about it in my mind, said Fetzer, a former philosophy professor at the university level. And he referred to, apparently, his credentials with Scholars for 9/11 Truth and a host of other organizations he has been a part of, as you know. And this was the paragraph or two, among others, that was highlighted by me in this morning's syndication by the Associated Press. So that sets the tone. You know what we're going to be talking about. And I know that Jim has had quite a field day discussing the fact that when he spoke to this particular reporter from the AP, the reporter obviously decided to do another kind of story that did not include most of what Jim said. Surprise, surprise. All right, enough said by me. Welcome to the program again, Jim Fetzer. Hi, how are you today?
Oh, Rick, it's just terrific to be on with you again, my friend. Yes, He was very selective. I actually recorded our conversation. I sent him a copy of the recording. I was citing a whole lot of work about Pizzagate with which he seemed to be unfamiliar. Frankly, I don't think he knew anything about the case at all, and therefore was really not well positioned to be pursuing this story. I cited that Abby Martin on her Empire Files series for RT has a show about hashtag John Pizzagate, about John Podesta's email. Ole Domegaard, who is one of the world's most noted experts on assassins and assassinations, has done a show about it, describing Pizzagate as just the tip of an iceberg. Preston James has done a brilliant job of an essay about the satanic cult that is enveloped in pedophilia that has control of our country. I did an interview with Jim Rothstein, an NYPD Gold Shield detective, Rick, who was an expert on pedophilia. And when I explained to him some of the findings emerging from the treasure trove of 650,000 emails on the Anthony Weiner server, he confirmed to me that none of that was a surprise to him, that based upon his experience, he estimated 70% of those in high office in the United States are involved in pedophilia.
Well, this particular reporter for the AP, his name, I guess, is Ben Knuckles, and he decided to approach you. You congenially consented, and you thought perhaps in your mind, or maybe your just basic honest mind, that you were going to get a fair shake, that you were going to be quoted accurately, that you were going to be presented fairly accurately. And what we got instead was basically a profile. What we got was a story, not so much about Pizzagate, but it was basically and fundamentally about this whole business of conspiracy theory, as they say, and the new spin on it, that it is part of a, quote, false flag phenomenon. And I thought that was interesting, because rather than to interview you in the past on any of your research, your books that you've done about Sandy Hook, Boston Marathon bombing, 9/11, he just happened to mix that in with the story that this was a conspiracy theory, that Pizzagate was, you know, a field of opportunity for people who like to delve into questionable areas and spin their own web. Well, that's all well and good, you know, but the fact of the matter is that for years, you know, the alternative media existed in very primitive form, Jim. You know, when way before the internet, way before television, we had the corrupt New York Times doing stories from the Soviet Union, the Walter Duranty case, which they even won a Pulitzer Prize for groundbreaking, shattering, earth-shattering news about how wonderful Russia was. And then we found out later they had to give back the prize, that it was, and it took many years to do that, long after the Soviet victory in World War II. Then we found out that other cases of out-and-out fabrication were taking place. So what happened? We didn't have the internet. We didn't have television until the late 1940s. So we had the old, you know, the 16-millimeter projector. We had the opportunity for groups, whether it be the John Birch Society or the American Free Press or a number of other organs, Nord Davis's group, to go out and essentially say, wait a minute, this is not exactly the truth. And then finally, when the internet age opened up from the, you know, the military of all places, we found this state of affairs where we are today, where the American media bosses are now drowning in their own vomit. Apparently, they are, you know, they are losing subscriptions and subscribers to an incredible degree. So all of a sudden, with the advent of the Trump candidacy, comes Alex Jones, comes a host of others, and they fit them into their own matrix. They now create this impression that somehow you can't trust the alternative media, the alt-right. You've got the Bannon, you know, and a whole host of others. So guess what, folks? It's time to crash the party. What are we going to do, say these so-called journalists? Well, what they're going to do is, instead of dealing with the issues head-on, what they do is attack the messenger and smear and vilify. And it seems like you just happen to be one of those who fit right into that mold, Jim.
I'm willing to, you know, discuss these things with anyone. I understand the risks. as a previous case about, oh, I don't know, 10 years ago, I was visited by the BBC, came to my home here, and interviewed me for 8 hours, Rick, about 9/11 for their first Conspiracy Files program on 9/11, and they used 7.5 minutes. They put it together with 4 minutes Alex Jones, 3.5 of Dylan Avery, so he was supposed to be the snot-nosed kid, mm-hmm. Alex the messianic preacher, and I the kooky professor. Yeah. I gave him probably 100 arguments with proof about what actually happened on 9/11, and they selected the one they thought would come across to the audience as the biggest stretch, mm-hmm. where I explained that at the Pentagon, the lawn was perfectly clear, green, and unblemished, no debris whatsoever. It only started showing up much later, about 30 minutes later, and appeared to me to have been dropped from a C-130 that was circling the building. Included in the debris was a piece of fuselage from a Boeing 757, but it didn't show any signs of having been involved in a violent collision or exposed to high temperatures. And embedded within that piece of debris was a section of vine not indigenous to the Arlington, Virginia area. It turns out that Jim Hansen, who's an attorney from Columbus, Ohio, had tracked this back to a crash in Cali, Colombia in 1995. Where the plane went off course and passed through these vine-laden jungle and crashing into the side of a mountain. In some of my presentations, I show photographs from the actual crash site. The 757s are very reliable aircraft, very infrequently crash. So he did a nice piece of detective work to show that the Pentagon had kept this piece of debris in storage until it could trot it out on a special occasion, which turned out to be 9/11.
Well, you're right. You were sought out then, and only a portion of what you say gets reported and in a context that is skewered to begin with. And, you know, that has been the case in many examples with people such as yourself who have good credentials, honest credentials. And you know, we're having this discussion locally about this whole Pizzagate story, which I was looking at with a jaundiced eye several weeks back, and for some reason I just decided not to get into it because I felt instinctively, Jim, that this was going to be an opportunity for Intel, for the, you know, the people that we call the black box people within Intel to do their dirty work and set up a scenario in which they could then discredit some of these alt media people, because that has been the focus since the ascendancy of Trump of the media. The obsession has been you can't trust them. And where do some of these stories originate? With the media themselves. And ironically, what you found is a classic illustration over the last, 90 years or so of media press, you know, in the case of pre-television media. You had some voices of reason on the radio that were contradicting the official print media stories about the Lusitania and World War One, and then what was going on in the 20s. And I remember the instance in which almost all of the media in this country leading into America's involvement in World War One were all refusing to print an ad that Germany wanted to take out. I guess only one newspaper finally printed it, warning American passengers to stay off because it was a munitions ship disguised as a passenger ship carrying armaments to war. And that was kept off of the radar screen, even to the point where they would not accept advertising. So that sort of tells you, going way back, way before 2016, how deep this media control has been. It's just apparent in so many instances. NBC is a good example. CBS, they faked stories. I remember what Dan Rather said a number of years ago when he worked for CBS. He said, you know, we don't claim to be objective in the broadcast news business. We claim and we say we are fair. Now, there's a heck of a difference between objective and fair. And what does being fair mean? He never really defined the term.
Well, actually, it's an excuse for what's become a completely propagandistic operation by the mainstream media. William Colby advised Congress decades ago that the agency he then headed owed everyone a significance in the major media. He was preceded by Carl Bernstein, who published an article in Rolling Stone in 1977, The CIA and the Media, in which he explained that the high-ranking officials of the agency boasted that their greatest successes had been with Time Life of the New York Times and CBS. And in that era, Rick, as you well know, if you controlled Time Life, the New York Times, and CBS, you pretty much had a lock on the American news media. The Times has fallen to a new low standard when the Billy Bush tape emerged, although they have the motto, all the news that fit to print. They put the F word and the P word right on the front page of the New York Times. I found that rather stunning. And now we have discovered that the New York Times is engaged in the operation to suppress any information about pedophile networks. Here was a story they published on November 20th, 2016. Norwegian police arrest 20 men in pedophile network probe. But yes. now they have gone back and they've deleted it. If you go to the where you should find the page no longer available, Rick.
Isn't that amazing how obtuse and how out in the open they are about censoring their own papers?
Well, I'll tell you, it's interesting that InfoWars published a piece when my book on Sandy Hook was banned. They use a classic photograph, probably the most important we uncovered, of the SWAT team vehicle there in front of the school. Just above the roof, you can see a string of four windows in classroom 10 that were undamaged. That's significant because after the event, they'd be shown as all shot up. The flag's at full mast. You come down the flag, and there's a familiar figure leaning against a wall with his arms folding, awaiting the arrival of his portable mortuary tent, none other than Wayne Carver, medical examiner. Crime scene tape is up for a crime that is yet to be committed. Mm-hmm. It turns out this was actually taken on December 13th in the evening before the event went live on the 14th of 2012. We also publish in the book photographs of the windows before and after, so you compare them. And get this, we had a photograph of the perps drilling holes in the window frame to simulate shots that were never fired. They put in pink rods, and they were all perfectly parallel with one another, and they were 90-degree angled to the window. As a former Marine Corps officer who used to supervise recruit training at Edson Range with 15 DIs and 300 recruits under my command. This is completely ridiculous. No real shooting has that kind of effect. And when InfoWars published a copy of that photograph, which is so important, it was up for 38 minutes. It had 138 comments. They took it down, and I discerned the reason because we'd already made copies of it. It said photo credit Connecticut State Police, which was correct, as the Connecticut State Police had taken all these photographs that we were unable to unearth, never expecting they'd fall into public hands. Mm-hmm. So they had to suppress it. And the Jones people or whoever they were controlling them went back in the archives and scrubbed it from the archives as thoroughly as Hillary did with many emails she didn't want out into the public with bleach bit.
It's it's just one example after another of how I tell people this all the time. It's not even the stories that they create or fabricate out of nothing. We saw that years ago with the Janet Cook affair at the Washington Post. She was found out. She was exposed. And accuracy in media was going to town on her. And she wound up getting fired. So many stories that are slanted, that are just biased, that are rewritten to affect a mindset of negativity toward whatever it is they want you to be negative to. So people forget, look, there are souls, there are people behind the keyboard. You're not sincere, and they lie by omission as well as commission. All right, let's come back. We got to talk about this Pizzagate affair and where it's all headed. Rick Adams and Jim Fetzer today.
You You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and, of course, you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat. You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and, of course, you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
And folks, gentlemen, listen up, join us, and we'll take a couple of calls along the way. Art will be with us later in the afternoon. He's been away for a couple of weeks, so we're going to bring him back. But, you know, Jim, just to lay a little bit more groundwork here about media corruption, media ownership by the elite, as they like to say, but it's a tribal ownership. You know, we know that. We know some people would call it the Zionist mob. I call it the Kenites, for who controls the flow of disinformation. And one of these dynasties of this earth is academic, and largely the academic world, as you found out, is a very, very difficult nut to crack. But let me give you one example of a recent reportage that I was following when the media decided to pick up on this Trump administration that is supposed to be taking office on January 20th. Now, we know a lot can happen between now and then. But nevertheless, the reporting was about this China card. And as you know, it was reported that somehow that at least it was meant to be thought of that the Trump administration had contacted the Taiwanese Free Chinese government on Formosa and President Tsai as a gesture basically amounting to a slap in the face of communist China, the beginning of an potential economic war between the United States and communist China, which the United States is in no position to do at this point. In any event, it was then talked about that, well, it really wasn't the way you've understood it. It wasn't the Trump people contacting them. This was taking place a long time prior to this event being named. And the name of Joshua Bolton, John Bolton, appeared in all of this. And you know, Bolton goes back to the Bush administration. He's a hawk. He's a war hawk. And he was, you know, the ambassador at the time, I believe, to the United Nations. A hardliner, to be sure. And then I began to put the pieces of the puzzle together, come to my own conclusion that this is a turning point in this new paradigm of what is going to happen vis-a-vis the United States, Russia, and China in the coming month. But here's the part. Here's the part that relates directly to what we're talking about, media corruption. I was reading the same source, the Associated Press story about China, and they give a little background on it. And you know what they said? They said that the Chinese government came to power on the mainland in 1949 due to a split or civil war. And the other Chinese were forced to flee to the island of Formosa. And that was like, what? Hello? There's about 10 leaps of substance missing from this story. You know, it had to do with treason. It had to do with Truman's betrayal. And the Secretary of State, George Catholic Marshall, actually disarming Chiang Kai-shek, letting the communist cutthroats take over, which then resulted in the Cultural Revolution and the killing of some 70 million people. But that was glossed over by the 80s, just like it has happened. It was a civil war. And there was another example of what happens when you bat your eyelash and you miss history. You know, it was just simple things like that that are not apparent to the average reader that mean a lot to me because I knew some of the history of that betrayal, and it's just alarming how much people don't say. That's an example.
Rick, it appears we're getting electronic interference on your end. It's hardly a novelty for me because they seem not to want the public to hear what I have to say. But they're trying to find everything they can to discredit Trump. This whole thing about Russian interference with the election is completely fantastic. No evidence, no proof for it whatsoever. Easy to get to the CIA to make such a claim because Hillary was the CIA candidate. Richard Charnin, who's a completely brilliant statistician and expert on election fraud, who's published two books about the thefts of elections using voting machines, and another most recent about the DNC sabotaging Bernie Sanders' campaign, where the election might have had a completely different outcome if Bernie had actually been allowed to receive the nomination, where he was regularly in polls running well ahead of Trump. But they wouldn't allow it to happen, and they're fabricating all these claims in an effort to affect the electors. I have no doubt they know there's nothing to it. Obama's calling for a complete review of any possible interference, but it's not going to be released to the public.
Okay, James, we'll sit you right there and come back and try our connection again. We'll be back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman Mobile Marketing App, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Don't feel like the Lone Ranger. You've got the Radio Avenger on your side.
Hey, Rick Adams is on. Hey, turn your horse radio on. Rick Adams is on. Ouch.
Hopefully now you can hear me. I understand that some of you could not hear the comments I made before the break, and Jim took over, and we were talking about the China card and how communist China came to be, and how the Associated Press and Reuters and basically all of the bought and paid for family-owned media say the same thing. You know, it was a civil war, just a split that resulted in the enslavement of a billion people and the killing of upwards of 70 million, which they leave out also. And again, that was one example of reporting by omission and distorting by omission and then slanting a story so that it has no relevance to today, no meaning. You know, why did the free Chinese have to go to Formosa? And how Henry Cabot Lodge admitted as ambassador that we had the fleet stationed between the Formosa Straits or free China and communist mainland China, not to protect Taiwan, but he said to protect the communist mainland from an invasion. You know, it's the fact that you can check out in the history books, and I couldn't believe it myself when I read it, you know, that here we are, an admission by a government official, Henry Cabot Lodge, and others saying that that was the get-go. So you can see the hidden hand of tyranny behind all of this from the beginning of World War One, Jim. But anyway, we're back up now. Hopefully, I'll continue without any interference.
And Henry Cabot Lodge would betray JFK in Vietnam, too, because he specifically directed that the Diem brothers should not be taken out, but Cabot Lodge allowed it to go forward.
Yes, and of course, led to
chaos in Vietnam. But you know what's fascinating about this AP article is that I've got him with his pants down. I sent him a whole bunch of stuff that he completely ignored, and I sent it to him before he finished the article. I included the sketches of the two suspects in the Madeleine McCann kidnapping from Portugal in 2007, where they bear an uncanny resemblance to the Podesta brothers, John and Tony. In fact, based on my background with statistics and probability, I'd say the chance that those two suspect sketches would resemble the Podesta brothers so precisely by chance is virtually infinitesimal. This is a really powerful indication they were involved in that event. In fact, there's a sketch of a third suspect who looks very, very much like Anthony Weiner. We've got all this going on. The Comet Pizza guy turns out to be an actor. He didn't do any investigations. No reason to think he knows anything about Cometgate. He was just a convenient prop. I also sent him information about Sandy Hook and how this woman, who is supposed to be a truther, is a lowlife, that she has several criminal convictions. She doesn't show any intellectual capabilities, research abilities. Moonrockbooks.com, for every book I publish, all of the contributors' bio sketches. So you know what you're getting before you get inside the book, Rick.
They're like, here's the thing. You know, I have you on the program. I have a few others, too, because I know from my dealings with people like yourself that I can trust you. I think your research is very impeccable. We do sometimes all speculate on some things, and that's fine and dandy. We don't state it is a fact. Only facts that we know are facts. And just guess what? They just happen to be conspiracies. I mean, the federal courts, the state courts, every day indict people for conspiracy. Conspiracy to commit murder, conspiracy to bank rob, conspiracy to kidnap and kill and so forth. But who watches them? The question is, who watches over the media, which is supposed to be independent in theory, and watches over the government? That's the question nobody answers for me.
Well, Rick, conspiracy is the most widely prosecuted crime in the United States, just as you're outlining. I mean, it's as American as apple pie. And when they call us conspiracy theorists, you see, they're ignoring that this phrase was originated by the CIA to cope with critics of the Warren Commission, who are simply pointing out obvious lapses. Bertrand Russell, for example, observed that while there was a lot of information about Lee Oswald, there was no chapter about who killed Kennedy. What could be more obvious? The backyard photographs were staged. It wasn't even Lee Oswald in the photographs, a guy with a blocked chin. Lee had a pointed chin, insert line between the chin and the lower lip. The fingers were cut off on the right finger, on the right hand, holding two communist newspapers. When you use them as an internal ruler, it turns out the guy in the photograph is only about 5'6", whereas Lee was closer to 5'10". And moreover, he himself responded when shown one of these photographs. It was his face pasted on someone else's body, that he knew something about photography. He'd eventually be able to prove it. Well, we have proven he was exactly right. He was indeed the patsy. We've been able to prove what many students of JFK have suspected, such as Howard Weisberg back in 1966, photographic whitewash, that Lee was actually captured in a famous photograph in the doorway, watching the motorcade as it passed by. Jim Garrison believed the same thing. We've been able to prove they were correct. Lee was not only not the lone gunman, cannot have even been one of the shooters. This is one of the biggest fake news stories of all time, and it came right from your own government.
Yeah, and the media just simply delivered it up to you, folks. They just simply reprinted it. No critical analysis, absolutely no probing. You know, the days of H.L. Mencken and Garrett are long gone. Those days just don't exist anymore, and they can't, because of who controls the media and the flow of information. And Hollywood and the connection to the Pentagon now and to Israel has been just so apparent We had one former mogul who sold his interest in the studios, who had a movie studio production company that was actually a front for being an arms merchant. He was actual, and it was all in the establishment press. They even admitted it, that he was dealing in arms worldwide, you know, all kinds of small and larger arms, scale arms, but he was using a studio as a front in Hollywood. So, you know, again, the average moviegoer, the average critic, the average film viewer is not going to be able to understand this. They're not going to put two and two together because these people are so cunning. They're so clever. They're so wealthy.
Well, most Americans to commit the blunder, Rick, of supposing if they're hearing it on ABC, CNN, and reading it in the newspapers, that's from three independent sources, are getting all their news from the Associated Press or Reuters. Reuters owns the Associated Press, and the Rothschilds own Reuters. So
just
there's complete control of the news media in the United States.
Prior to 1980s. There were some 90 different news services. At least they said they were independent. They were, enumerated to be various sources of wire service reports, in the field reporting, and so on and so forth. Over the last 35 years or so, they have been gobbled up. They've elbowed their way to power, as they did with the movie studio business of the 1920s and 30s. And now there's only a handful, about five, media conglomerates, and that is rapidly going down, so that all of the media can be easily managed, easily controlled on a worldwide basis. So if they don't want you to know something, you're not going to know it. And this is what has happened in instance after instance after instance, that we could spend 2 hours right now just going through the media quackery, the media fraud, and again, who holds them accountable? Well, apparently, as the latest polls show, Jim, I'm reading now where the latest polls, and I don't know if they are completely accurate. I'm assuming in this case that they are, that the credibility of the media in the average American's mind has now plummeted even further than it was prior to the election.
Well, the media was outed when the election took place because they had for over a year been touting that Hillary was ahead, Donald didn't have a chance, that it would be great for Hillary to be elected. They gave us the results of a lot of rigged polls where they were deliberately oversampling Democrats, women, and liberals to bring about a predetermined conclusion. Richard Charnin, whom I mentioned before, believes that the whole thing was rigged for Hillary. Results in Michigan during the recount have substantiated that. They found massive stuffing of ballot boxes in Michigan for Hillary Clinton, not mm-hmm. for Donald Trump, but for Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. Pennsylvania is impossible to recount because they use so many touchscreen machines that have no trail, so you can't even do a recount, which I regard as unconstitutional on its face. And here in Wisconsin, the latest with 70% counted, Hillary picked up 492 votes, Donald 410. So she picked up 82 votes, nothing earth-shaking there. But they're trying to use this false news meme to explain why Hillary lost the election. So, of course, she's chiming in and claiming, yes, we got to worry about this false news meme, when the false news is coming from the mainstream media.
Yes, yes, absolutely. The Washington Post, most notably. But in addition to all that, getting back to the reason that I was scheduling you for today, is we're coming up now on the anniversary of this Sandy hoax event, and I've been looking at some of the interesting stories going back even before this year, that following the event, immediately there were groups that were beginning to rewrite the whole history of Sandy Hook in order to answer the questions that people were asking. At least 34 questions that I know of that have never been answered by anybody in the government or the media. So along comes Salon, which I'm sure you're well familiar with, online, Salon, the website, and they offer an explanation. They are in the business of saying that we are going to answer some of those questions that conspiracy theorists have come up with on Sandy Hook. And here they go. You know, one of the questions was, of course, why aren't the adults sadder looking on camera? And you know what the answer was, Jim? The answer was people mourn in many different ways. And I knew that was going to be the scripted answer.
Yeah.
Some people mourn with a smile. Some people mourn with a giggle. Some people cry their eyes out with a laugh. And, you know, this is the pat answer that I expected. And they even come up with some Columbia University study on grief that suggested that was the case and incorporated it into their answer. Then they come up with, what about Emily, you know, the little daughter of Robbie Parker, who was supposed to have been killed? And how come she was seen sitting on the president's lap, Obama's lap, the next day with the same dress? They said, well, that's easy. That was her sister. That was her sister that was sitting on the lap of the president. Nobody really questioned it except conspiracy theorists. Then they asked the question about Robbie Parker himself, father. And how come when he came out to meet the cameras, this is where they begin. When he came out to meet the cameras, how come he wasn't more grief-stricken right away and then became grief-stricken? But they don't deal with the fact that he was caught on camera giggling and laughing and joking with others before he missed his cue. This is the part of disinformation that the average Joe does not look at, you see?
Well, they're also taking at some of the less weighty evidence. I mean, here's a crucial question. Why, if you look at the parking lot of the Sandy Hook Elementary School on 14 December 2012, is there no handicap parking? None of the familiar blue and white parking areas, none of the blue and white signage. That's because it wasn't compliant with the requirements of the Americans for Disability Act. In 2008, they had to decide whether or not to upgrade the school to accommodate it, Rick. The school was loaded with asbestos and other biohazards that had been damaged by hurricanes. They decided not to. They abandoned the school. There was nobody there. And you can tell just by looking at the parking lot that it could not have been legally operating in December of 2012. Why don't they answer that question?
Well, that's one of the many. Yeah, I know.
Or why there was no heat or steam rising from the building. It was a 27 degree Fahrenheit ground temperature day, well below freezing. You would have had to have heated the school, but the boilers were so decrepit from non-use for 4 years, they couldn't even fire them up. Or why have you got two rows of cars that are all parked facing the school? The directions that require coming in from Dickinson Drive, turning right, curling around, then parking facing away. But since they were only going to serve as props, they found it simpler to bring them in a single file and put them in two by two by two. Just looking at an aerial photograph of the Sandy Hook Elementary School, you can tell this was an elaborate fraud. It was, in fact, a two-day drill with a rehearsal on the 13th going live on the 14th. We even have the FEMA manual, which I published in the book. I mean, it's completely ridiculous, Rick, that anyone should be disputing, and I'm quite sure Salon does not mention the major repository of proof that Sandy Hook was a hoax, to wit, the book Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, which I published, put for sale on 22 October on Amazon.com, and it sold nearly 500 copies by 19 November when it was banned, Rick, because it was too explosive. Jay Garvey, who had been a White House spokesman, had gone to Amazon as a senior vice president. I'm sure he had a role to do with banning
and Jeff
the
Bezos.
Book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. And so I went on with Jeff Rentz that night and released the book for free to the public as a PDF. If you go to Rentz.com, R-E-N-S-E, period, C-O-M, comma, Sandy Hook, you can download a PDF of the first edition of the book we for free. We now have a second edition that has six chapters that are not in the first edition. If you're impressed by what you find there, you can go to Moonrock Books and pick up the second edition because the first is no longer available. But I'm telling you, the proof is overwhelming, and Salon will not touch it.
None of them will touch it. None of the establishment propaganda media. You know, the most recent case in the last six or seven weeks or so was the case of Sandy Hook, where a lawsuit was brought by the so-called families of the slain to attempt to get a lawsuit against the gun manufacturer. And that was even dismissed by an honest judge, apparently, who said that it violates a law that was passed in like 2005, and you just cannot do that. So it was dismissed, but they're appealing that decision. Then we have the case, I guess, is Donna Hochsprung, one of them, who now is suing for harassment. The person who is protesting is as a hoax. This whole thing was a hoax. Are you familiar with
that? Actually, the woman who threatened someone was threatening Lenny Posner, who claims to have a son, Noah, who died at Sandy Hook. And get this, Rick. Noah Posner has a most unusual history because he not only is reported to have died at Sandy Hook on 14 December 2012, but again in Pakistan on 16 December 2014. Kelly Watt, a very astute student, had over 100 hours of conversation with Lenny Posner, told him she didn't believe a word he said, that he didn't believe he had a son, didn't believe he died, thought he was making the whole thing up. And Lenny inadvisedly sent her a copy of the death certificate.
Folks, you can join us if you're on the line. Hang on, we'll take a call or two for James Fletcher, our guest. We're talking about media hoaxes, folks, and much more. Rick Adams Uncensored.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NUMANA Republic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Only a fool would go to a plumber for brain surgery. But otherwise intelligent people use internet searches to find such gems as Lee Harvey Oswald killed JFK with 3 shots from the rear and 1 shot from the front. They get similar financial guidance when they are investigating cryptocurrencies. RBN listeners know that American currency has not been lawful money for nearly 50 years, since the thieves at the Fed stole the silver out of the coins and began reneging on redeemable notes in 1968. Now that the dollar has just about inflated totally away and banks want reverse interest to keep your books, the high-tech world has brought you an alternative. What if you could buy, sell, and trade with fellow business people from your home with zero bank fees? If you believe banking tyranny must end, then join the digital currency movement now. Call investigative journalist Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
And we're back, folks. Time is flying by, and we're going to take a call in a moment. If you'd like to ask a question of Jim or make a comment, You can do so now, 800-313-9443. But Jim, you're hitting on some hot button issues that have eluded all the reporting by the media on Sandy Hook. Now, we're coming up on that date in just a few short days this week, and there will undoubtedly be a barrage of the propaganda concerning what we've just spoken about. We're talking about Posner. We're talking about some of the key players who are actually frauds. Here's a classic example of a story that was concocted by the government, Homeland Security, just as they have in a number of instances, the Boston Marathon included, and the media just run with it. They just simply print it. They don't analyze it. They don't take the time or effort to in any way question any of it. And that I find alarming. Now, I know why. I'm not playing Mr. Naive. I know who owns the media and what is in control. But the point is, the average person does not. They don't think this way. They just simply read, the old timers read the paper. They look at the headlines and the stories, and it leaves an impression in their mind. That's what it's all about. The average television viewer watches Lying Lester or Tom Brokaw or any of these other people and says, well, it must be so. I saw it on TV. They don't have the background on all these networks that were found to be fraudulently creating stories. I mean, going back a number of years and omissions, stories that never made it to the media. And Reed Irvine came along with Accuracy in Media and says, wait a minute, how come you guys nixed this story? And in some cases, they answered him, Accuracy in Media. They said, well, we didn't want to alarm the public about, wait a minute now, so you mean you do all work in unison? You do spike a story, huh? Oh, well, we don't mean it that way. So here comes Jim Fetzer and myself and a number of other researchers. You post something, and it's open, sure, to debate. You'll debate anything and anyone on these matters. But the fact is, there's no debate in the media. There is absolutely no discussion. And so we're trying to drive home that point for people who are still uninitiated and naive. That's all I'm trying to do here today.
Sure, Rick. Did you want to take a question or two from a caller?
I think we'll take right now, we'll take a call. If you want to get on the line right now, there's a line available for you. But we're going to take our first call, and the number again is 800-313-9443. Laura in Michigan, you're up on the program.
Hi, Mr. Fetzer. I've got two quick things to talk to you about. One of them is, did you see on CNN Posner was on there complaining about his harassment because of these fake news stories?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's obscene, completely obscene that they put this guy as a total fraud. He's trying to support the hoax because he's worried that since he received over $1 million in donations from sympathetic but gullible Americans that he might have to give the money back, could even be prosecuted for fraud. He sent Kelly Watt a death certificate for NOAA that turns out to be a fabrication, a bottom half of a real death certificate, top half of a fake, no file number, wrong estimated time of death at 11 a.m. Versus actual shooting from 9:30, 9:35. Kelly has gone further and been able to establish that Noah Posner, the photograph, appears to be of the man, Michael Vebner, who's supposed to be his older stepbrother. She's done a brilliant comparison that I put in as an appendix in the second edition of the Sandy Hook book.
What was your second question? Hello? All right, we got a break anyway. All right, hold on, Laura. We'll take our midway break, all right? Stay where you are, and we'll come right back with Jim Fetzer and our discussion today, folks. Rick Adams on Center.
Fall, my favorite time of year. Cooler temperatures and, well, let's be honest, layers. Lots and lots of layers. Look, I get it. We all have that favorite hoodie. Matter of fact, I've got a few favorite hoodies. You should wear yours. Enjoy it. I do. But I stay focused on my health year-round. And for me, I take Nature's Youth RSF from naturesyouth.com. Nature's Youth RSF from naturesyouth.com. I eat right, control my portion sizes, still maintain a commitment to regular fitness, and I get plenty of rest, and I take Nature's Youth RSF. It's okay to cover up your beach body for a few months, but don't just forget about it. Nature's Youth understands exactly what it means to provide top-quality health products, and Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain peak performance levels and fight the aging process. So layer up and get started today with Nature's Youth RSF. Nature'sYouth.com. Simple to use, even simpler to order. Go to Nature'sYouth.com. That's Nature'sYouth.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.